Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're here. We appreciate your presence very much. I think we have some visitors with us today, and welcome our visitors and invite you back at every opportunity. Great day. This is opening our worship service at the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. And we have people online. I want to give them a welcome and glad that they're online listening to the service today. I'd like to begin our worship with a scripture reading found in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts and minds knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now we'll enter our song service. Brother Josh Johnson will lead our singing.
Good morning. Start by singing number 144. It's convenient, let's stand as we sing this song. Number 202, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Deliver all
continue in praise with number 478. Number 478, and following this song, we'll have our prayer and scripture reading, our prayer. Sing the first, the second, and the fourth verse.
Let us bow as we go to God in prayer. Our most righteous and gracious Heavenly Father, the fountain which 10,000 blessings flow, we thank you, Heavenly Father, as your children, that you encourage us any moment of any part of the day to come to you and whatever needs that we have or whatever thankfulness we have, because you bless us so much. Heavenly Father, we at this time pray for the ones that has been mentioned throughout this week in the bulletin and that many different places. We pray that their health concerns can be remedied as much as possible. We also realize, Heavenly Father, that the older that we get, the more health issues we have, but You realize all these things. You take care of us like no other. You walk beside of us. You tell us that you'll never leave us. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we go into this worship service, that we dismiss anything of a worldly nature, that we adhere to your word. We pray for Tim as he brings this lesson to us today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings we have. Help us, Heavenly Father, to be molded to do your will in all things. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the men and women that have been incarcerated for whatever period of time, that their soul is still truly important as long as all souls are, Heavenly Father. We pray that we can encourage them and strengthen them. Help us to strengthen each other and help us to show love in all respects. Never be boastful, show humility. Also realizing, Heavenly Father, our most bold efforts fall short. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that that most precious blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary be applied to our lives. If, Heavenly Father, there be one that can hear this voice that has never been obedient to your will, help soul that is fertile, that a heart that's reached, that before it is eternally too late, that it can render obedience to your will. Heavenly Father, we pray for the elders here. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give wisdom and guidance and help us, Heavenly Father, as members of the flock, that we will do your will. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each day that we have opportunities to do that will. Heavenly Father, help us to never slack the duties that you've given us. Help us in love, Heavenly Father, to share with others. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the sermon this morning, we'll sing number 395. Number 395. It's convenient for you. Let's stand once more as we sing.
I travel down a lonely road and no one seems to care. The burden of my weary back fell me to despair. I often complain to Jesus, how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say,
Please be seated. If you're using a hymnal, please mark number 922. 922 will be our song of encouragement.
Children attending the children's training class can be taken there at this time. Our scripture reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 25. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another.
Is there anyone here today that feels blessed? If you don't feel blessed, you are blessed, not that you don't feel it, but you are, whether you realize it or not. That's just the nature of God. God blesses us even if we're not righteous, even if we don't deserve it, because we really don't. But God is that way. God blesses us so richly. And that's just one reason we come together on the Lord's Day to praise him, to honor him, to learn more about him. And it is so good to be here with you this morning as we join our hearts and our voices together for that purpose. We're so glad that you are here with us today. We've got a good number present again. It's so good to see the numbers gradually growing. And we're getting close to where we were before the pandemic. And I think we will surpass that as the year goes on. But we're so thankful that you're here today. And we've got many visitors with us today. I hope all of our members will look around and note faces that may not be familiar. And I know you're thinking, well, maybe they've been members here and I just don't know them. That's okay. Today is a judgment-free day. If you introduce yourself to somebody that's been a member here a long time, they're not going to judge you for that. But they're going to say, it's so good to get to know you. And so let's do that. I've already met one family that has just moved here from another part of the country, and another family that has just moved here from outside the country. And so look around and get to know some of these folks, because they're good people. But we're so glad you're with us. We have many that are joining us online as well, and we're always thankful to have you with us. Wish you could be here with us in person, and maybe you will be at some point. But we're just glad to be together and have this opportunity to worship God and to give him the praise that he deserves. I want to mention that there is a group meeting in the old auditorium. The Hispanic group is meeting over there for Bible class this morning at 10:30. And then they'll be back at 2 o'clock for their worship. But I would urge all of you, as many as can at least, kind of go out in that direction, and as they are coming out of their Bible class, welcome them, get to know them. Some of them speak English, some don't. But let's get more acquainted with each other because they are part of the body, and we want to welcome them. There's one particular guest, Jorge Torres, who is visiting from El Salvador. He's working with the Hispanic group for a few weeks. And he speaks English, and I'd love for you to meet him. He will be with us in our assembly this evening, I believe. But let's welcome one another. Let's make each other feel truly welcome, because we are a part of God's family. And Lord willing, we're going to meet at 6 o'clock again. At that time, we're going to have a presentation of the prison ministry. You hear us talk about the prison work quite a bit, and let me tell you, you've not heard anything yet. This work is growing. There are more wonderful things to talk about. Marshall Danby's going to be talking about it this evening at 6 o'clock. I'm going to steal a little bit of his thunder right now and tell you that yesterday, 5 women were baptized into Christ at the Washington County Detention Center. Is that wonderful news? I'd say it is. Praise God. And Mike McGee was the one that put them down under the water. And we've got so many women here that are certified to go in and teach Bible classes, lead worship services. We're going to need more helpers because the work is growing. So if you're interested in getting involved, talk to Linda Gray about the women's part of it. Talk to me, Marshall, any of the guys that you know are involved in it. This is just such an amazing work, and there are people that really know they need the Lord. So let's do what we can to take the gospel wherever we can. Now let's get into the Word of God. Open your Bibles, turn on your device. Let's get into the Word and find out what God has there for us that will help us to live more victorious lives. Now, first of all, let me tell you about the coffee mug I drank from this morning. It's not this one. I have a blue one. I have a blue mug. But you would say, well, that's kind of an average-looking mug. It's just ordinary, no big deal. What if you were to find out that mug had been used by a U.S. president at some point in the past? Would that change your esteem of that mug, even though it looks very ordinary? Or maybe a celebrity of one kind or another, and you would be taking it to Antiques Roadshow. If you had the provenance to show that a president really did drink from this mug on a regular basis, then the value might go from 50 cents to maybe $50, $500, who knows? It's who has used it that would make all the difference. How is our value determined? Not talking about mugs now, talking about us. How do we determine our value? Is it based on degrees that we've earned in college? Is it based on the amount of money or possessions that we have? Is it based on the position that we have in work or with our social group? Or is there something better to use to determine our value? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We've been talking about glory the last 3 weeks. We began by talking about the glory of Jesus Christ. We talked about the glory of the gospel the week after that. And then last week we talked about the glory of the church. Today, let's talk about the glory of the ordinary. The glory of the ordinary. Because you and I, we feel ordinary sometimes. But is that how we ought to feel if we are children of God? Well, let's see what the Bible says. And that may help us find even more energy to do what we're supposed to be doing. Let's begin by talking about ordinary women who receive praise from Jesus. Ordinary women who receive praise from Jesus. Now, how many people did Jesus encounter as he walked upon this earth? Thousands, of course, tens of thousands. We don't know the number. And most of those will remain unknown to us because they're not recorded in Scripture. But there are some that are noted, and there's a couple of them in particular that I think really stand out in this way, because to look at them, you might say, well, they're very ordinary, and yet Jesus said, look at that person. Focus on what they have done, on what they have actually lived, and let's just look at that. Go to Matthew chapter 26 with me. Matthew chapter 26, here is the first one that we're going to look at. And this woman achieved glory, at least from the way Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 26, and let's begin by reading verses 6 and 7. Now when Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. Now, right there, that's kind of remarkable. While Jesus is enjoying a meal, and it was customary at that time for them to recline on their side, very relaxed pose. And while he was doing that, a woman came up from behind and she had very expensive ointment. In fact, we're told in Mark's account, in Mark chapter 14, verse 3, the value of it was like 300 denarii, which is roughly equivalent to 1 year's wages. 1 year's wages of the average worker in that time. Would you call that expensive ointment? Absolutely. We're also told in John's account, in John chapter 12, verse 3, who this was. This was Mary, the sister of Martha. Now, many times when you look up the anointing of Jesus, they'll talk about Mary Magdalene. That's not what the Bible tells us. Here, we're told in John's account, it is the sister of Martha. But the point is, this was an extravagant gift. Something that you might save for a very special occasion. And Mary says, this is it. Jesus is worthy. And so she broke open that flask, poured it on his head. John tells us she also poured it on his feet. But it was a sign of how she esteemed him. Well, it caused an uproar. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verses 8 and 9. And here we find this in Matthew's account. When the disciples saw it, they were indignant. They were upset. They were angry. If you're not familiar with the word indignant, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. And you know, there's some truthfulness in that. I mean, you're just pouring it out. It's done. It's gone. We could have taken it somewhere, sold it, got the money and provided for other people. But now it's gone. Why did she waste it? And again, in John's account, in John's account, we're told that it was Judas that said this. And he apparently was the influence leader on this. He was a thief, John goes on to tell us in that same passage. And he was upset that he wasn't going to have an opportunity to get the money that might have come in. And so he said, you know, this was a waste. And all the other, well, you're right. It was a big waste. But what did Jesus think about it? Let's read on in Matthew chapter 26. Now let's look at verses 10 through 13. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And here we are fulfilling that prophecy. We're doing just what Jesus said. And why? Because Jesus said, this is a beautiful thing. This is something that makes her very noteworthy. And people of all generations should look at what she did and learn from it. So would you say that's a degree of glory that Mary earned from Jesus that day? Maybe not earned. That may not be the right answer. But at least it was given to her. And now her example just glows throughout the ages because she did a beautiful thing. In fact, in Mark 14 and verse 8, in Mark's account of this same event, Jesus said she has done what she could. And I think that's worth focusing on as well, because she didn't have to go heavy into debt. That's not what it says. She did what she could. Her abilities presented her with this opportunity, and she did it. And that's true of all of us. There are things we can do. There are things we can't do. But there's a lot of things we can do. And when we do them, could we achieve somewhat of that same glory that Mary had on that occasion? And let's talk about another woman that we find in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, we're not going to read this. It's very familiar to us. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And there we find a widow. Jesus was sitting in the temple area, the courts of the temple, and he was watching people drop money into the various receptacles in that area. And there happened to be this one woman, a widow, it is told, who put in two copper coins, two mites. Now, compared to what other people were doing, it was nothing. I mean, that it's like pulling two pennies out of our pocket and say, hey, everybody, look at what I'm putting in the collection plate. And most people would say, okay, yeah, big deal. But Jesus said, it is a big deal. It really is. Because she's given everything. She's given of her livelihood. And again, the point is, this woman who was quite ordinary, I mean, there was nothing else to distinguish her. We're not even told what her name was. But the Lord saw what she did, and he said, there's glory in what this woman did. Ordinary people doing glorious things, it is very possible. The Bible says so. And so, even though Mary may be a celebrity to us, the sister of Martha, yet this widow also has the same value. And why is it? Why do they have that kind of value? Because they entrusted themselves to the Lord. That's what led to their glory. They said, I don't have what other people have, but I've got what I've got. And I'm going to entrust it to the Lord. That's what led to their glory. Now let's talk about the glory of ordinary Christians. I don't know that we have any among us today. Actually, I think we all probably think of ourselves in that way. I'm nobody special. I'm just ordinary. And yet, there is glory in the ordinary. And let me give you some examples of glorious, ordinary service. And you may be thinking, wait a minute, Tim, you just contradicted yourself. Glorious and ordinary, they're on two different ends of the spectrum. No. Not necessarily. I think when it's done for the Lord, it can be both. It could look ordinary to the world, and yet in the Lord's sight, it is so glorious. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, and you may already be thinking of this particular statement by Jesus. It is almost a proverb, you might say, because what does it take for me to please the Lord? Do I have to do something really, outlandish, extravagant? Do I have to mortgage my house in order to please the Lord? Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is the disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. There is a reward for giving just a cup of cold water? Notice what Jesus said, because he is a disciple. And it's more than just, you know, giving them a cup of cold water, a bottle of water. That's probably what we do today. It's, I noticed that you're really warm. You've been working hard. Here, let this refresh you. And it's more than the water itself. It's the idea that you notice me. You did something to bring a bit of relief to me. And Jesus said, when you do that, when you pay attention to the people around you and take note of their needs, you will have a reward. There is glory in giving a cup of cold water to one who is a disciple. Then also notice in Matthew chapter 25, we talk about this passage quite often. It is Jesus portraying the judgment day there. And on his right hand, there are those that are righteous. On his left hand, there are those that are unrighteous. What made the difference? Well, he doesn't mention church attendance or putting money in the collection plate, although those are parts of it. What Jesus was more concerned about there is you did what was needed. People have needs, and you noticed those needs. And he talked about the sick and those that were in need of clothing. He talked about those that were hungry, those that were thirsty, those that were in prison, those that were strangers. And he said, in all of those cases, you came to me. And they said, wait a minute. When did we ever see you in those situations, Jesus? And you know what he said in verse 40, Matthew 25, verse 40. The king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. I think that's timeless, don't you? I don't think that just applied to the first century. I think it's timeless Meaning, whenever I see somebody that is in need of this or that or whatever, and I go out of my way to help them, I'm helping Jesus. There is glory in that ordinary service. I mean, to the world, okay, you gave somebody a bag of groceries. What's the big deal? You went to them when they were sick. You paid them a visit in the hospital. What's the big deal? I'm doing it for Jesus. And that's what makes it glorious. Acts chapter 9, verse 39, you know this woman. Tabitha was one of her names, but we know her better as Dorcas. Dorcas had died, and they called on Peter. Peter, come, our beloved sister Dorcas has died. And here's the scene when Peter got there in Acts chapter 9, verse 39. Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. So what do you see in that woman? Do you see somebody that was famous in her community? Nah, maybe not. I mean, a lot of people knew her. But she wasn't a celebrity. She wasn't rich as far as we know. But she saw the needs of widows. And she made clothing for them. And her passing left a great void. And Peter, as it goes on to point out, brought her back to life. But the point is, she was glorious in the eyes of those widows. You saw our needs. You did what you could. We can't thank you enough. You will be missed. Again, glory in the ordinary. And then how about this individual? You may not know this individual in Romans 16, verse 22. This is the only time we read this name in the entire Bible. Romans 16 and verse 22. His name is Tertius. What do you know about Tertius? I don't know anything. Well, listen to what he says. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Now, wait a minute. I thought Paul wrote Romans. Well, yeah, he did. But Tertius appears to have been the amanuensis, the one who wrote down what Paul was telling him to write down. That appears to be what is the case. And was that important? Would we have this letter to the Roman Christians had it not been for Tertius? Well, somebody else may have stepped in. But the point is, it was an ordinary task. A person that is otherwise unknown to us. And yet there's glory attached to that name Tertius because of what he did. And throughout the scriptures, you're going to find several individuals, several examples of people that were not anything outstanding in their society, and yet in the Lord's esteem, they kind of glow. I mean, it doesn't literally glow on your pages of the Bible, but that's what I see when I read it and take time to think about what these people did. And so that's the point that we're trying to make. But let's go one step further here. Let's talk about the glory of ordinary Christians multiplied. The glory of ordinary Christians multiplied. Let's go to that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that Garrett read for us a little bit earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 20 is where we're going to start. And here Paul is talking about the church. And here is an image of the church. We learned last week the church is us. It's not the building. It's Christians. So listen to what he says about the church. As it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. And this is not hard to figure out because I think most of us have a body, don't we? And most of us know our body consists of several parts, but it's like this. It's good that my hand is working, but that's not enough. My hand has to work in cooperation with my brain and my hungry stomach and my mouth when it's time to eat. Because otherwise, how's that food going to get from the plate to my mouth? There has to be a cooperation. Yeah, I'm working, but I'm going to do my own thing. You guys take care of that meal yourself. Good luck with that. No, we're working together. And that's where the power is multiplied, when I recognize, number one, that I belong to Christ, and number two, I belong to the body of Christ. Let's read on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 21 through 25. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You've got a problem if your eye does that. You know, the eye says, I don't need you, hand, nor again the head to the feet. I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You can't do without them. Those parts are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. That means I look around me and I see there's somebody over here. I just read that they lost a loved one. I need to do something to show that I care, to try to bring a little bit of comfort into their lives. And I just read in the bulletin about this person having surgery next week. I need to see if I can help them with some meals or some errands that they may need to run while they're recovering. And on the list can go. I mean, we're talking about ordinary service for an extraordinary, glorious purpose. The body of Christ. There is glory in the ordinary. And as Paul looked at himself in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, I propose we do the same thing. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, here is how each of us are to look at ourselves. He says there, I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And if Paul had only focused on the past, he might have groveled the rest of his life. He might have said, I don't deserve to be out there among the other apostles. I don't deserve to be preaching the gospel. I'm just going to go over here and feel bad about my past. But look at verse 10. He says, but by the grace of God, amazing grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is in me. Paul didn't focus on his past, which was not right. He focused on the grace of God, and that's what gave Paul glory. That's what gave him value. And he said, because God was so good to me, I work hard to try to show how much I appreciate that. That's how we ought to look at ourselves. It's not that I'm better than anybody else, but the grace of God has come into my life, and now I'm going to do everything I can to help others. So the glory of the ordinary depends on two things. Number one, whom do I serve? Whom do I serve? Is it just all about me? There's no glory in that. But if I'm serving the Lord, yes, very much. And then number two, do I serve in cooperation with other members of the Lord's body? Because again, if I'm only doing it for me and I'm not going to bother with these folks, that's not the Lord's will. God composed the body. Did you catch that phrase in 1 Corinthians 12? God arranged the body. God put you where you are for a reason. Now it's time to start using it. Start using those gifts and those abilities for the good of all. There is glory in the ordinary. You probably have heard the poem written by Myra Brooks Welch, published a little over 100 years ago now, 1921. I want to read it. It won't take but a couple of minutes. Powerful, powerful poem. I love it. 'Twas battered and scarred and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. "What am I bidding, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Then two? Only two? $2? Who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000? And who'll make it two? 2,000? Who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Have you allowed the master to touch your life? It changes everything. The past is gone. The future is glorious. And I urge you to submit to the master's hand. You do that when you obey the gospel, as Peter proclaimed it on the day of Pentecost, the first time the gospel was preached. They obviously believed. They said, "What do we do now?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That has not changed. That's still what it takes. And today, if you've done those things, have you been faithful to the Lord? Or have you allowed sin to come back into your life? Then you can come home, repenting of that sin, praying for forgiveness. We'll pray with you. We'll encourage you. Whatever we can do, please come. If you need to come, as we stand and sing.
I hear the Savior say, I'm
are always happy to let you know about new families that have come our way and that want to be a part of our family. In some cases, they've been around maybe for a little while, but we urge people, you know, think about identifying with the church here, placing membership, we call it sometimes, because that lets everybody know we want to be part of the family. We're ready to do what we can for the Lord's church. And we got two families this morning that have that desire. They've both met with the elders and talked about it. Ashley and Ryan Seal and their children, where are they? Oh, back here in the back. Here they are standing up. Ashley and Ryan, their children, Emily and David, want to be a part of this congregation. Some of you may remember Ashley from way back. I'm not trying to say that. She actually was a part of Central years ago when she was a child. And then her parents and she moved over to the Elizabethan Church of Christ. But we're so happy to have them back with us. And we look forward to getting to know them better. And I hope you will get to know them very quickly as well. And then also Marie and Rick Davis. We're over here. The Davises and their daughter Dana and their son Craig. Craig has been around for a good while with us. Dana has as well. But they want to be a part of our family. They've been worshiping with us for a while. And we said, well, let's just make it official. And these are good people. I've really enjoyed getting to know them. Dana has two daughters, Melissa and Alyssa. And I really urge you to get to know them and welcome them. If you have Instant Church Directory on your smartphone, their photos and contact information will be in that very quickly. And I urge you to get to know them and get acquainted as quickly as you can. Let's take a moment and go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the church. And thank you for this church, Father. For the people that make it up, for the love they have for your son. For the way that we can work together and amplify our efforts. And Father, we just rejoice now that the Seal family have come our way. And we pray that you'll bless each of them and also the Davis family. Father, we welcome them and we pray that they will feel that welcome. And that together we may do so much more than we have done in the past. And Father, just thank you for all that have come our way. Bless us that we may be your people and shine your light brightly in this community. For Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll sing number 342. If you're using a hymnal, number 342. We saw thee not.
Thank you. As we continue in our worship, and let's turn our minds and hearts back to the cross as we partake of the Lord's Supper. If you'll join me in prayer as we give thanks for the bread. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so, so much. So much for all that you've done for us, all that you've let us have. Dear God, we live in a wonderful part of this world, and it doesn't take much to see how blessed we are, but without you, we're nothing, and without the sacrifice that your Son made, we'd be nothing and we'd have no hope. Dear God, as we turn our minds back to the cross, pray, dear God, that we'll just visualize the sacrifice that was made, that we'll understand that the body of Christ in this bread, and that we'll partake of this in a way that's well-pleasing to you. Dear God, see things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us again go to God in prayer as we give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Heavenly Father, we come back to you in thanks as we continue to reflect on the cross and Jesus and his willing sacrifice. We understand that this fruit of the vine represents the blood that he spilled for us, that we might have hope, that we might have eternal life. And that plan, which was so perfect, was just sent for us, and we're humbled by that. Dear God, as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents that blood, I pray that we'll do so in a way that is well-pleasing to you and in the right mindset. It's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you again join me in prayer as we think about what we're going to give and how we're going to give it, and just think about all the blessings that we have. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we come back to you again in thanks for all that we have. Dear God, we have so many material blessings. We often don't do enough. We often don't give enough. But dear God, I pray that as we consider what we're going to give, I pray that no matter if that's 2 pennies, $2, 2,000, it doesn't matter. As long as it comes from the heart, and as long as it is as you purpose us to give. Dear God, I pray that as we think about what we're giving, I pray that these funds that are raised will go to good causes, that will be in accordance with your will, that will further your work here on earth. Dear God, we understand that all that we have comes from you. And I just pray that as we give that, we give that with a cheerful heart, with a giving heart, and with a loving heart. Dear God, it's these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's pray again. Father, we thank you so much for the great opportunity that we've had to come together this morning as your family and give you worship and praise. And we thank you that every individual here might be blessed. Bless us as we depart this building and go home with our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have some announcements, of course. Please pick up pick up communion cups and throw them away as you leave the building. Parents' Night Out will be hosted by the Cadet Girl Scout troop that meets in our building. This will be held this Saturday, February the 4th, from 5 to 7, and it's for children ages 2 to 8, through 8. See the message on the board or bulletin for more information. A gift card basket is on the Welcome Center for the welcome upcoming wedding of Brandon Davis and Maddie Owens on February 18th. They are registered at Amazon. Ladies are invited to a baby shower for Joshua and Caitlin Bacon on Sunday, February the 12th at 2 p.m. at the Storytelling Center. They are registered at Amazon and Target. A note from the Bootons. The outpouring of love and encouragement from our church family for the loss of my brother, Craig, is humbling and heartfelt. The cards, texts, and prayers on our behalf are beautiful reminders of God's comfort in action. We love and so appreciate our church family at Central. Love, Ann and Doug. Remember these in prayer. Brittany Hoss is...